summon up some dislike for her, but nothing much welled up. I could see things from Zebra's side clearly enough, but what Chantrell had said also made sense to me. She believed the people they hunted were bad people who ought to die for what they had done. Chantrell was wrong about the victims, but how was she to know? From her point of view, denied the exquisite viewpoint which I had experienced thanks to Waverley, Chantrell's actions were almost laudable. Wasn't she doing the mulch a favor by culling its sickest? It was enough that I allowed this notion into my head, even if I stopped short of preparing a bed for it. Sky Houseman would have been very proud of me. "Don't look so grateful, Tanner." Chantrell had returned with the tea. "Why did you come back?" She placed the two cups on the ironwork top of the table, then lowered herself into the seat opposite me, as sinuously as any cat. I wondered if Chantrell's nervous system had been adjusted to give her that edge of felinity, or whether it just came from a lot of practice. "I suppose," she said, "I wasn't quite bored with you yet. Quite the opposite, perhaps. Intrigued. And now that we're somewhere public, I don't find you half as threatening." I sipped the tea. It was almost tasteless, the oral equivalent of an exquisitely pale watercolor. "There must be more to it than that. You kept your word about my friends, and you could have killed them, I think. But instead you did them a favor. You showed them what pain is really like, real pain, not the soft-edge approximation you get from experientials. And like you said, you gave them something to brag about afterwards. I'm right, aren't I? You could have killed them just as easily, and it would not have made any difference to your plans." "What makes you think I have plans?" "The way you ask questions. I also think that whatever it is you need to do, you don't have long to do it." "Can I ask another question?" Chantrell nodded, and used the moment to remove the cat's eye mask from her face. Her eyes were leonine, inset with a vertical pupil, but other than that her face was rather human, broad and open, with high cheekbones, framed by a halo of auburn curls which tumbled to her neckline. "What is it, Tanner?" "Just before I shot your friends, one of them said something. It might have been you, but I don't remember so well."
"Go on. What was it?"
"That there was something wrong with my eyes."
"That was me,"
Chantrell said uneasily. So I had not been imagining it. "What did you say? What was it you saw?" Her voice lowered now, as if she was conscious of how strange the whole conversation had become. "It was like they were glowing, like there were two glowing dots in your face." She spoke quickly, nervously. "I assumed you must have been wearing some kind of mask, and that you discarded it before you emerged again. But you weren't, were you?"
"No. No, I wasn't. But I wish I was."
She looked into my eyes, the vertical slits of her own eyes narrowing as she focused intently. "Whatever it was, it isn't there now. Are you telling me you don't know why that happened?" "I guess," I said, finishing the watery tea with no great enthusiasm. "It will have to remain one of life's little mysteries."
"What kind of an answer is that?"
"The best I'm capable of giving at this moment in time, and if that sounds like the kind of thing someone who was a little scared of what the truth might hold might say, maybe you're not entirely wrong." I reached under the coat and scratched my chest, my skin itching beneath the sweat-sodden mendicant clothes. I'd rather drop the subject for now.
"Sorry I raised it," Chantrell said, heavy with irony.
"Well, what happens now, Tanner? You've already told me you were surprised that I came back. That suggests to me that my presence isn't vital to you, or you'd have done something about it. Does it mean we go our separate ways now?"